Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. But just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment Day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. To God be the glory for this awesome, this wonderful, this magnificent evening. Thank God for December the 6th, 2021. A day we've never seen before, a day we'll never see again. I'm grateful and thankful that God has allowed us all, under the sound of my voice, to still be amongst the living. I'm just grateful that God continues to order our steps and give us an opportunity to be able to bless others. And just grateful and thankful that on yesterday was our beautiful mother's 82nd birthday, Mama Holloway. And just grateful that we're able to spend a little bit of time with her and pray that God continue to grant her many more years to be on this earth with us. And know we have a brother that will be celebrating his birthday tomorrow, and we'll be excited to wish him a happy birthday as well. So God is allowing us to see year after year, and we're grateful and thankful for it. My name is Tammy Storr, and I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly. And as we come today, we're just grateful and thankful that you've taken a few moments out of your evening to come and be with us as we speak a little bit about oneness, is about learning how to support your spouse. And so we're just asking that tonight, if there's a word in season that you would like to share on how you support your spouse or how it has evolved over the years to the support that you provide one another now, we would love to hear from you. Just simply press 1 on your phone. Minister Jesse at the appropriate time will open up your mic. And if you can just do us a favor and maybe speak for a couple minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, and then if you have more to say, if you go off and then press 1, it'll take you off the host queue after you speak. Press 1 again when you desire to come back later, and just come back later and speak again so that we can give others an opportunity to share if they desire. So we just thank God for you tonight and your obedience and sharing with us on how God has blessed you to be able to support your spouse. Always, we got to usher in the Holy Spirit. I want to always thank you for the ability to be here with me and be able to usher in the Spirit, knowing that there's so many great things that we know that we still are responsible to do over the coming days, months, and years. And because of that, God needs us here a little while longer. And we need him to be in the midst of everything we say, do, and touch. And we have to continue to pray that he lead, guide, and direct our footsteps and everything we do. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for these powerful, strong, God-fearing men and women that have made their way to the Blog Talk Radio Show. Thank you tonight, Lord God, as we speak about oneness is about learning how to support your spouse. I pray that you allow us all under the sound of my voice to recognize, know, and understand the importance of supporting our spouse, the importance of us being there and edifying our spouse, and the importance of us being understanding when disagreements or misunderstanding happens. And I just pray that you don't linger long, but once you get through whatever disagreement you have, because you will have them, that, Lord God, you give us the ability to be able to ask for forgiveness or to forgive and accept forgiveness from the spouse that brought all unto us. And I just pray tonight, Lord God, that you give us a way to be able to get along better, to love on each other, to respect each other, to support each other, to be there for one another. And I just want to say thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us, and all the blessings that you're going to continue to bestow upon us. There's individuals that have made their way to the Blog Talk Radio Show that are still yet single, waiting on their soulmate. I pray blessings on top of blessings upon them, that you, Lord God, would order their steps and bring them forth an awesome and a wonderful man or woman, Father God, that would be their perfect soulmate to live happily ever after. Then I just want to say thank you, Lord God, for the husband you blessed me with. As he comes forward to share through transparency, I pray many blessings upon him. And then I pray, Lord God, that we will continue to do our part to help make a difference in the lives of others. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise God. We give him all glory and all the honor, for he truly is worthy to be praised. Now, we know that we are coming off of a celebration together. That's Tammy and I, 25 years of marriage. And we had a great time in our week of 25th year celebration. And we had some great moments of discussion and debate. And that's what it's all about. Because when you have a vision that you want to achieve, you take it and believe what the Word has to say. You know, we are reminded in the Word that where there is no vision, the people perish. Sometimes we don't understand that applies to our marriages and relationships in general. So a general question we should all ask ourselves, I think, is simply, when we think about this marriage thing, the most complicated yet rewarding relationship a human being can ever, ever have, is that we just need to be willing to ask questions, be willing to grow, to expand. Because guess what? All of us, as we know, are emerging and developing. Think of a married couple when they first get married. And Tammy, we could use us as an example. I mean, you get married and you have some time where you're just hanging out together, doing things that you want to do together. And if you are one of those that are favored by God, you may then have some children that will come your way. And when those children come your way, then you have some common objectives and common goals. But even in the life of the children, remember, they change. They're not always in preschool or adolescent, teenagers, young adults. They're changing constantly. And so the support that you need from each other is not static either. It's dynamic. It's forever emerging. So there is nothing about this relationship of marriage or oneness that we like to use that's going to be easy or going to be a cakewalk. It's a constant challenge filled with constant demands for your time and your resources. That's the bottom line. Yet at the end of the day, I believe there's no greater reward, no greater celebration than to see a man and a woman be able to reconcile and get through those illusionary differences. And I think it holds true in everything we do, and it definitely supports our topic tonight that we need to support our spouses. Because men, we chat sometimes about what we go through and the women go through. But tell me, you know, let's have a dialogue when we think about this. As you look at the concept and let your own marriage, you like to say, I know the other day you were saying, wow, it was difficult to believe it's been 25 years of marriage and to have seen three children come up and grow, develop, and, you know, to where the last one is in college, the second year. But what do you think, what kind of support do you believe you received that allowed you to get through having twins and then another single birth almost 5 years later and to be willing to do the things that you've done? What was your motivator? How did you determine you were going to be the greatest support you could for a husband and for your children?
Well, Jesse, that is a very good question. You know, I think about so often when we first get together, we get to know each other and get to understand a little bit more about one another. And before you realize that you're in a relationship and before you realize that you're engaged, and shortly thereafter you're married. And so there's different phases of a relationship that you go through. There's a process that you go to that allow yourself to be positioned. The children normally come later. And so the thing that I always say to those that we're speaking to, especially those that we know have children, you have to have a balance. I thank God that when we first got together, you know, we supported each other. I was not a big golfer, but I would go out and I could go out and do it. But I know that was one of your favorite pastimes. And so one way to support you to go and be involved in an activity that will give you some form of exercise, but also to be able to release any stress or potential stress that you may have and to provide you a little bit more peace, you enjoyed golfing. And so one way that I supported you early on in our marriage is we went out every opportunity we had because we had no responsibilities. And then on top of that, we fast forward a few years, and I chose to pick up tennis. And that was a sport that you dibbled and dabbled but didn't really play it much. You're an athlete, so it wouldn't be hard to pick it up. And that was one of the things that you picked up to do alongside with me to support one of the activities that I enjoy doing outside the house. And I would also say that it's so important that we all support each other. I know there are some of you that may have a spouse that travels a lot, and you may not get to see each other as much, but you can take an opportunity to speak to one another over the phone as often as you possibly can. And nowadays you can FaceTime and be able to see each other even in your absence. But the key thing is to make sure you do your part to support that individual where you don't make them feel bad that they're gone so much, because one of the things that God is doing is allowing you an opportunity to have your spouse go off and be able to support the house with the financial blessings. One of the things for me is I know I had to support as much as I could, Jesse, when we began to have kids, because I know you were gone 3 to 4 days a week. And so when you came back to our home, we knew that we had to have some quality time together. And so there are certain things you have to do that you can't just not do for the kids, but you do what you have to do for the kids and make sure that you allow the time that you need where you're not too tired to be able to spend that quality time with your spouse, which is what I was capable of doing. But it wasn't an easy thing. It was where I was lacking a little bit of sleep, but it was worth it. So we have to ask ourselves, what do I need to do as a spouse to support my husband in an area in which I know would bring him joy? And so for me, I know that there were several things that we could do to support one another, and we did that on a regular basis. And so I'm encouraging our listening audience that no matter what and how busy you are, what you're doing or how busy you are, make sure that you never get too busy for your spouse, because time does fly. It goes so fast. Jesse just spoke about the children and the different phases of their life. Well, our marriages go like that. It's been 25 years. One of the things that I will say that I was able to support, Jesse, one of the things you wanted to do when we were on vacation was to go back down memory lane over these last 25 years. And we all have goals that we set when we first get together. We went back over some of those goals, and we did some of the things that I think all of us need to do. Go back and reevaluate where you are and some of the goals that you wanted to accomplish together. There may be some goals that you individually wanted to accomplish. And so I thank God because we did do that. We had the opportunity to do just that. We went back down. We figured out what have we done. Where do we want to go from here for the next 25 plus? And we have to put a plan together and write it down, make it plain. Take the time, do that. I encourage you. If you do that, you will understand how important love is. Because when you love someone that much, there are going to be things that you're definitely going to do. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider each other carefully for the purpose of sparking love and good deeds. So figure it out, and however you can support each other, you do just that because it will help make a difference in everything you're doing. So God bless you all, and I'm just grateful and thankful, Jesse, to be able to answer that question, and I will continue to support you in any way I can, and grateful that you do the same for me.
Well, I tell you, in this whole concept of support, we sometimes don't think about it, but again, it's a very dynamic, emergent reality. We can't just say in advance, I'm going to support this, but not conceptually we can in certain areas, spiritually, mentally, financially. But overall, even in those areas, it's such a dynamic, changing reality that we have to have a level of flexibility in our understanding and support. And I think what happens sometimes is when these different stages and phases of life hit either the couple that's married or their children or the professional, the job, the vocational, it becomes a little bit more complicated for us to have a clear understanding of what support means. And then sometimes you hear people say, you ask a lady, well, what is it that you that concerns you most about your spouse? And so men will say, well, we both work, or he won't do this or won't do that, and he's always expecting me to do what some people call the traditional activities of women. And we know that today we can't think like that because many of us, we have daughters and children ourselves. And so quite naturally, some of us are attempting to train them to grow up, to be independent, to be contributors to the well-being and expansion of society. And yet at the same time, you know, they want to be, and we desire for them to be also able to be independent. So we're always looking for that blend, that match. And that takes a mindset of support. So often I think, Tammy, in the world we're in today is that so many men and women, especially our young black men and women, they have not experienced a good, positive, solid role modeling. And so when they get together sometimes, they don't have a clue as to what it is to have a great marriage, a great relationship. I mean, think about it. As we were chatting this weekend, I mean, you and I, we probably was the least likeliest of a couple to be together. Yet we have discovered, I think, after being together, that we do have so many things in common that we did not initially look at. You know, initially you wanted some single person, no children, and we've told that story before. Yet at the same time, now with so many years have passed, and the fact that we have now had an opportunity to raise three children together, I think we can see where there was an alignment, there was linkages, and there was a need for support to where both had to grow and to develop that may not have been instantly recognizable or discerned. And so sometimes we have to step back and say, how did this happen? And when we're willing to humble ourselves and not say, well, hey, I saw her, I ran up to her, I said something, and, you know, she couldn't resist me. Or, you know, you may say the same. Oh, I saw something, I saw him, and I just couldn't resist him. Well, no, I think sometimes there is a override and overarching reality called the Most High that will allow these things to take place in order for us to get together. And then when we look back, only then, after we have gone through the trials, we have gone through the storms, we've gone through the tribulation, can we really begin to see how whatever the enemy may have meant for harm, you know, God turned it around for good. And on that note, Tammy, and given the fact that we had and we are still having reflections of those 25 years during the conversation, you know, we talked about, you know, as we look at going forward now, even in our case, and we would say this to so many of you as well, I mean, where are you in the phases and stages of your relationship? I mean, are you looking for children? Are you trying to figure out how to blend a family? And we spoke about that, how oftentimes in this postmodern era, you know, we sometimes think that blending families or a blended family is such a hard and such a monster thing to do. Yet we forget that even Abraham, the father of all the three major religions, he himself was in a blended family. I don't know why we forget this stuff. David, you know, a man after God's own heart, was in a blended family. How do we sometimes get to these situations? Now, that's why I'm going to ask you a question, Tammy, is because I heard even yesterday when they were honoring Mama Holloway, hearing your niece speak, who, of course, would represent a blended family, about how the love of your family for her mother, knowing that her mother and your brother were not married, but how the love never ceased from you, your mother, the family, whatever. So what is it you think that caused you all to have that level of support? And what can we learn from that type of support when we think about spouses married to each other and also providing that support, especially in blended families?
Well, Jesse, I think the most important thing is that, you know, you have to really look deep down into who you are as an individual, and you have to understand and know that, you know, love is the key thing in everything we do. Blended families are not the easiest, and it's another way to support. And I know even with my niece and, you know, having her there in our family and knowing that her mother had other children other than her with my brother, and we embraced them all as a part of our family, as the blended family. And one of the things that I will say, when I married you and you already had children, that, yes, that was an area that I did say to myself that I did not want, is to marry anyone who's had kids or been married, because I wanted to experience that myself with someone that's never been through it. But I will say that God is, he knows exactly what he needs to do, and he does it for us. No matter what we want, it's not what we want. What he knows is best for us, and what was best for me was you. And I'm grateful and thankful that he gave me that opportunity to be able to continue to support what he blessed you with early on before I was even in the picture, and that's with your beautiful children that you had before me. And I thank God that we do get an opportunity to do the things that we must do as a family and as a blended family. And there's always work to be done. There's always opportunity to show some extra love. There's an opportunity to show forgiveness. There's an opportunity to be patient with one another. And we will continue to always do that. As a matter of fact, it doesn't matter if it's a blended family or not. In your regular family that's not blended, you have those opportunities as well. The most important thing is, again, as we're speaking tonight, the most important thing we got to understand and know is, are we supporting our spouse and their children if you are a part of a blended family? And if you're not, there's ways that you can do that. And if there are some challenges with disrespect or anything else that may be going on, let the parent, let your spouse be the one to speak with the child, could be a young adult, and then bring it all together. You eventually have to all sit down and talk about it, discuss it, because communication is key. But I can tell you, over the last 25 years, I've been able to respect and understand what blended families are all about. And so I do support you in that area, Jesse, and I'm grateful and thankful to do so.
Well, that's good. I think support is key, because I can remember many times in working with men over the last 45 years or so, I can only assure you that one of the greatest, I guess, pain and emotional gaps that I have experienced in men have been what they felt were situations where they didn't get the benefit of the doubt, or they were not given the proper level of support. And most of that was driven because they had made mistakes when they were young. You know, one of the things that we have to deal with, again, is the legacy of our marriages and the legacy of the marriages and the introduction of westernized marriages for the black male was under the disguise of the white male. And so because of that, oftentimes, at least historically, the black man didn't have the right kind of a mindset necessarily as it relates to respect. You use that word, respect, for the wife or the female or the lady, because of what had taken place oftentimes at the hands of the white man. And so many times you read the history books like Tara Hunter's Bound in Wedlock and listen to those like Dr. Claude Anderson or Neely Fuller and Dr. Wells, you find out and discover that we were put in a situation where when you use the word support, that it was very difficult for a man to support his so-called wife, because up until 1865, he couldn't even say, this is my wife. I mean, so we had a period of time in this country where we were not allowed to cultivate the type of support that God ordained. Think about that. You're in a place, you're in a society, and you're not even able to consummate legally, where a legal system is higher than God's spiritual system. And so now by default, many black men and many black families were torn at the seams. I mean, gutted, hearts ripped out. Could you imagine you having two children, and then someone comes and separate the child, or you got two children and you've been lucky, you were blessed, it's by the same man, and you know who the father is, you told the children who the father is, and then one morning you see someone coming there and they taking your child away, and you look at, or you search for the man that you know is their father, yet can't be called father, and yet he has no power. Some of us probably remember the scene in the movie The Butler, when one of the white men went in and was having his way with the butler's mother, And he was not a butler at the time. He was a boy. And his father finally said something, you know, to the white man. And the white man turned around and shot him and killed him. And, of course, that put a fear in that young man who would later become butler to the presidents, of course, according to that movie, until his son came along and gave him the support once again for that vision to be reignited within him. So that's what it's all about. And so tell me, when I think of the vision that you articulated to me, those things that you said you desired, and when you first shared those, I mean, I must be honest, I knew I was not the person that was going to be able to fulfill those because I didn't fit the script. So, I mean, I guess some kind of way, though, my conversation or comments or something must have convinced you that I would be able to be supportive or provide you the level of support that you would desire or need or want in your husband. So I guess in general, I want to ask this question to you. When you look at support from what we're describing here, why do you think it is then that we hear women today, some say, I only need a man for, you know, his physical contributions, or some even say, I don't even need a man. You know, I can just go do life on my own. What's happened, and why is it that we hear women who, we see women that are professional, make good money and all of that, yet they can't seem to find a Boaz, somebody that they can say, I'd like for this person to become part of my life legally and spiritually to satisfy both sides of that equation. What is it?
Well, Jesse, in my opinion, I really do feel, think, and believe that it is so important that we know that God blesses us with individuals. Sometimes it may not be the blessing we think should come our way. That's why so often when we pray, we want to pray for specific prayers. God may choose to answer it a different way. So what we have to do is just pretty much ask God's will to be done. And when it came to you and when it came to determining who would be the best person for me, I wasn't 100% certain if it was going to be you or not, because number one, I knew that there was some challenges that was taking place in your body, unfortunately, as it relates to whether or not you would be able to have any more children. And I knew that was going to be a deal breaker, that was going to be key for me. But God knows how to work things out. And that's why I tell you, you communicate and you speak about someone you're dating, especially with your family. You share with them so that they will be able to also encourage you in the right way to make sure you're right on track on how you're thinking. And I know with me, one of the people that I shared with was my brother that was unfortunately incarcerated. And I shared that with him to let him know that I was very interested. I think I was falling for you, but you had a vasectomy and I didn't think that you would be able to have kids, and neither did you, until lo and behold, we had a brother that was an amazing man that always researched, always looked information up, and he put a bug in our ear and said, look, it's not too late. Just as they do a vasectomy, they can do a reversal, and you can still be able to have children. And that's where all the difference made. Everything else seemed like it was falling in place, even with the blended family. But then I was concerned, would I be able to have children of my own, being a spouse of you, Jesse? So I'm grateful and thankful that God did provide that. So many women, unfortunately, do choose to just say they do not want to be in a marriage. Some of them, for various reasons, they've been in a bad relationship in the past, or something has happened along the way that they just don't want a spouse. Others do desire a spouse, and for one reason or another, just have not found the right one. And then you are correct, Jesse. There are individuals that unfortunately say they only need a man for one thing. And I think that's the worst thing that we can ever say. I really do. And the reason why I say that is because it's not all about the physical part of the relationship. Now, it's a good thing. God said he made that a good thing, but it's not the only thing. And I just hope and pray that it's beyond that and that you look at more than just the physical part of the relationship. And when I think of even Jude 1, chapter 1, verse 2, Jesse, it says, may you have more and more mercy, peace, and love. And the way you have that is by giving back one to another, supporting each other, loving on each other, and understanding and knowing that there is still so much more that you can do than what you're doing right now at the present moment to be supportive, to be loving toward your spouse. But the key thing is that you all go into it with a purpose. You have a vision. Like you said, without it, you perish. You have a vision. You go forward. You reevaluate it. You continue to support. You make some tweaks. You make some changes if you need to. And you go forward to do the best you can be.
Wow. I agree. It's really simple. It's not really that complicated. We just need to find a way and know that we can always love. We can always be able to do that which God has ordained from the beginning. What do you all think tonight? If you have any ideas about support or whether or not God wants you to support your spouse, I can tell you that, you know, you need to support them, because I know for me, ain't no sunshine when the days are not right. We're going to just take a quick pause and come back and remind us of that. Always
look. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. Wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know, I know, I know, I know. Sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away.
Now, when we be real, and I know you ladies too, when we not around and we may be on a business trip, may be on some other project or whatever, I know y'all miss us too. It goes both ways. It ain't just the men always saying they miss y'all. Although I love Bill Withers and that particular song about Ain't No Sunshine, because it ain't. And, you know, one of the things that really, like I said earlier, I've noticed over the years, is when men speak of those lost opportunities, it could be something. Remember, we were watching just this week, where a father had to tell his son that he had a run-in with the law. And since he had a run-in with the law, he wasn't going to be around. And he only wanted his mother to allow him to do one thing. and that was to name him. And he named him, and he finally explained where his name came from to the son. And there was a moment where the father and the son then embraced, because he had never been told that story, had never been told the truth. And see, sometimes, you know, I think, Tammy, in our community, what happens is that some of these children, you know, that are born, and they never really have the opportunity to be supported by the father, because they were conceived in a manner that wasn't necessarily a relationship that was destined for good things. And those are the ones that really have a lot of pain. But I'm going to say those that are even deeper, that have even deeper elements of pain, is when men and women fail to have joint visions, fail to have comparable and agreed upon strategies on how they're going to deal with life, especially if one or the other had an incident in their life that caused them to be a mother or father early on. Now think about it. You combine that with the historical inability of black folks to have solid, consistent role models when it comes to the concept of oneness and marriage in the first place. I guess when I think about ladies today, and you hear so many use the statistic that black men, 6% of the population in general, and 40% of the prison population, that's an imbalance. That's not equitable. Somewhere along the way, it makes it appear that black men, we're just so terrible. What can we do? I mean, even in support of the marriage in general, but definitely in support of spouse men for the women and women for the men. What do we need to be doing differently, maybe as parents, and speaking to our children, if we have children coming up, if we have young adults? I mean, how do we get into even the right conversation? What do you women talk about when it comes to the men? I mean, do you sit around and edify the men, or do you sit around and dog them out? Or I'm just kind of curious as to what's going on and why we see women sometimes still saying, I don't need a man to do this or do that or whatever. And most of the time, they're saying something that would really totally, totally turn off the man. And I know you and I have seen that happen ourselves in situations with couples that we know. So what is it? Why? And I know this is an unfair question, but women seem to be more than ever unwilling to even work through the illusionary differences that seem to pop up in their relationships.
Well, Jesse, I'm glad you asked. I am grateful and I'm thankful that, you know, when we have a disagreement, you know, most of the times it's an opportunity for us to grow. If we give ourselves that ability to do it, you know, you and I, even on vacation, celebrating 25 years in such a beautiful place, you know, Satan tried to creep in a couple of times and try to bring havoc between us, and we didn't allow that to happen. That's the key. You know, we cannot allow Satan to get in and have any room to bring any challenges, any issues into our marriage. We are going to have differences. And no, Jesse, when you and I have disagreements, I don't go and broadcast it to everybody I know and dog you out. And I'm trying to work on myself. I'm trying to figure out how could I have handled that situation different. I'm trying to figure out in my own mindset, you know, things that I really would want us to work on that I feel that we still have a little bit of challenges with. We're doing much better with our communication. We're doing much better in respecting each other and being quick to listen and slow to speak. And that's still a work in progress for me, but I know it's so key. One of the things I will say is that I don't think women sit around much. And I will say that the individuals that I choose to spend time with, we don't sit around and try to disrespect and dog out our soulmates, our spouses, or spouses to be. But what we do is we say encouraging things to build you up. because that's the most important thing. We want to make sure that we do our part to recognize, I don't care who you are, you're not perfect, but what are you doing to get back on track when there is a mishap or a misunderstanding? That's the key thing. And we talk about that a lot in our conversations. Well, what works best for you when such and such does whatever? You know, one of the things, Jesse, I will tell you that we speak about in menopause. I know we've done series on that. One of the things that I know I'm actively going through, and it's not an easy thing to get through. And that is an area where I know there's so many that have gone through divorce. So many have become violent in their marriages. So many have just become unsupportive of their spouse, and they really just don't want to be bothered. And a lot of that is those emotional challenges that you have that come along with menopause. And one of the things that we talk about when we speak about that area is, number one, do your research. Figure out what menopause really is, how it really affects you mentally, physically, emotionally. And the sooner you figure that out and you can work on it, the better off you're going to be. I know even one of our friends, and you may have heard me speak about it before, but I remember him being here at our home, and he was just talking to us about their marriage and how nice it was, and it was going so well. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like overnight, menopause kicked in. He didn't know who his wife was, even to the point he said, I can't even sleep in my own house without being in fear that she may do something physically to me. So I had to go out, buy a padlock, put it on my door in order for me to get a good night's rest. And so I'm just going to encourage us all, do whatever you can. Men, if your wife is going through menopause and you know there's been some changes and you don't know where it's coming from, do your own study, accountable. Understand what she's going through. Understand that you have a role in this as well. And so I encourage us all to do our part, to make sure that we are supporting one another, even if we got to do our own research, to be able to understand why your spouse may be responding a certain way or why your spouse may be going through a depressed state of mind, why your spouse is asking for a divorce. You've got to know that there is a lot going on in your spouse's mind when she's going through menopause. One of the things that we can do is continue just to support each other in any way we can to make sure that we stay together. Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through 17 tells us, it says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and more so if even death separates me from you. So again, until death do us part. So you might get upset. Don't let your wife run off. Go after her. Don't let your husband run off. Go after him. It's obvious there's some differences. There's some things that have come up that's caused havoc, challenges, issues, but never too hard for you to overcome. So only thing I would say, Jesse, in this situation is, no, we do not bash the men. And no, I'm not around anybody that I personally know that wants to be with a spouse only for the physical part, because there's so much more to it. I mean, I think about even our time away. We went to nice, beautiful dinners, stayed at, you know, on the water, oceanfront, just beautiful deck and just a huge deck. And we spent a lot of time there just reminiscing and talking. Went out on the beach, laying in the sand and just writing down things that we want to do over the next 25 years and how we've accomplished some things and what we think about our children, how we were able to raise, you know, three beautiful children. I know you've raised six, but I personally was involved in three of them. But I thank God, because when we think about those things and when we take time to do those things, it allows you to get closer together. And you're going to have issues. You're going to have challenges. But how are you dealing with it? Support one another by talking it out by being there and loving on each other in the way that we know God ordained us to do it. So I just hope and pray that this blesses someone. Hope and pray that whomever it is that you're speaking to, someone that is outside your home, maybe it be a friend, or maybe it be a sibling, maybe it be a stranger. I don't know who it may be. Whatever you do, I encourage you, I charge you, do not speak against your spouse, but in those individuals, build them up and speak nothing but good things. And you will see that based even on that little change, you will start seeing your marriage make a great U-turn for the better.
Well, all right. That's a sound advice. I can tell you that. And I know it's very consistent with what I share with the brothers all the time, is that it is the most important of all relationships, is this thing we call oneness. And it's not easy. Think about it. Something that's very good is not easy. You know, to get to a diamond, which they, you know, a diamond, what's the value of a diamond? The only value of a diamond is really the value that man has been able to superimpose on it, separate from a cutting instrument and all of that. But at the end of the day, look what women admire, women want. They want that level of appreciation and that level of support. They want that validation that you're willing to go out and do something for them unique and different in the form of a diamond ring most of the time. Now, as I've gotten older, I don't know if you would agree with me, Tammy, but as I've gotten older, I can think of a whole lot more you could do with that money that you spend on them diamonds. But, you know, I know you love them. The women love them, so I guess we'll keep on supporting them with the diamonds. But maybe one day we'll say, hey, you know, we could take that and do something else with it after having a great utility. Because one thing about the diamonds is that they don't normally, will not typically go down in their value. So that's a good thing. A great man made, created the man. But I want you to say this, Tammy, in this concept of support as well. Because we live in a world today that in general puts us at odds with each other. I mean, brothers against brothers, sisters against sisters. You know, the word talks about how in that day, at that time, there was going to be these wars and rumors of wars, and how family members and children and parents, how everybody kind of turn against each other. And see, that's the point we really are making tonight, is that when we're in our marriage, and Tammy, I know we discussed it this week, and I know you and I are on the same page, it's got to be the vision, is that when there's this element of disagreement, this element of confusion, whatever it must be, you got to focus back on the vision. And the vision is to get to oneness. The vision is to know, even in the word of God, once again, we got to use it. Abraham, who God called friend, he missed God. He wasn't patient enough. So see, sometimes even in our marriages and relationships, folks, even our own wives say, you know, well, you did this. Well, we can't say, well, I ain't perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect. I ain't perfect. David wasn't perfect. I ain't perfect. Joseph wasn't. You know, no. Because most of the time, we want it to be correct. Forget about that. But in all honesty, don't we have to learn how to love like God? And in closing tonight, Tammy, really, I just want to ask you, what is it? If you looked at situations, or if you just summarize some of the situations, you know, not in a specific individual, but in general, what is it we need to do as spouses to be more supportive of each other? What is it we need to do?
Well, the number one thing, Jesse, as we support each other, is to continue to show love and give love. And you know, it's all about love. I mean, I can't say that enough. I mean, I think about 1 John 4:16. It tells us, we have known and have believed the love that God has for us. It's no secret. We know God loves us. God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. And so when it starts with love, I mean, it may not start with love when you first start the dating stages, or you might think you're in love, what we call puppy love, where you're just starting out. But then what happens over time, you get to know a little bit more about that individual. You get to appreciate a little bit more. You need to be more understanding, and you fall deeper in love. And then it's so much to the point when you feel like you can't be without that individual. And Jesse is so right. I mean, when we go on vacation, a lot of times the love that we have for each other is amazing. He understands me and I understand him. He knows I like to lay out. I really do. It's one of my favorite pastimes. When we go on vacation, he is not selfish at all. He'll say, okay, Tammy, you go ahead. I'll do a little work. I'll do a little stuff. You go ahead down and lay out and I'll come and join you later. Or I'll go shopping and I'll get the food we need. Or I'll go get us food or cook food or whatever while I'm laying out. He is doing everything he can to support me, to allow me that opportunity to do something that I truly enjoy. And then on the other hand, I do the same with him. There may be things that I don't choose to do when we're on vacation, i.e., sometimes he likes to just ride around and sightsee and this and that. And I don't mind that every now and then. But again, my favorite pastime is to lay out and just to relax and just wind down. And so you got to find out where the greatest area of support can be, and you got to continue to incorporate love at all times. When you fell in love with that individual that God has now allowed to be your spouse, figure out what you did to fall in love and keep them and continue to do that, and you'll see your marriage be long-lasting, and you'll hit 25 before you know it. You're at 50 years and beyond. And I'm grateful and thankful because as I think about tonight, I think about one of our very own, Celeste. Her parents celebrated 57 years of wedding bliss on yesterday. And I just think that is awesome. It's great. It's showing an example, and it's being there for all of them. So I'm grateful, Jesse, that we are on our way to that 50 years. And I know God's going to continue to bless us as long as we do our part, understand who he is in our lives, and keep him in the forefront of everything we are and do, because God is love.
You know, that's what God placed on my spirit, that starting in January, that we're going to have some interviews with some of those couples that have been together 40 years, 50 years, 60, and even 70, to highlight marriage, to highlight oneness, to highlight those who have found the secret of learning how to support their spouse to oneness. We'd like to invite you tonight to join Minister Leo Killings at 9 o'clock. You'll have to dial back in at that time. Join other ministers during the course of the week. Reverend William J. Vann Jr. on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. Elder Jason Felix at 9 o'clock. Thursdays, Minister George Flint and his wife Maria. On Saturdays, his mother at 6 o'clock. Sunday, 6 o'clock, with Minister Amos Joseph Collins. We want to just remind you to be supportive of your spouse as they go in and as they come out. And may God bless you and continue to keep you in all that you do. Until next week, oneness, remember, is about learning how to support your spouse. Have a great evening. Have a great week.
Agape love.